On your mark, get set, go. You ready? You ever hear these words? I remember the words sometimes were different in other places and in other lands they're different. It may be ready, set, go. And there's a lot of controversy. Is it to your marks or on your mark? And is the word mark plural or singular? I'm telling you, people really amaze me at how much they get involved in some things like this. But racing is so much a part of our society. I believe there are more people running now than at any other time. My brother jogged for all of those 35, 40 years, and in that time he jogged 30,000 miles. That's a remarkable thing. I was not a part of that jogging world. I told Jerry, I said, tortoises live longer than horses anyway. And so I'm not a part of that, but it's so much a part of our world. Boston Marathon's tomorrow, right? And there are so many people are interested in it, and even the terrorists might be interested in it. But it's a part of our society. And I think as I stand here, about how many of you, I've seen you posting on Facebook or are aware that you're out jogging, and we live in a world that is filled with exercise. And so that's what I want us to talk about this morning, and that is, I want to talk about the Christian race. Let's get to the introduction of the lesson. You and I need to understand that the Bible is filled with illustrations of truth. Now there is truth that is plainly stated. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store. Do this in remembrance of me. They're just those commands that are set out. And then there are those illustrations that help us grasp everything that is involved in that. The last 2 weeks, we've talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And he said, you need to do not what I've done, but you need to do as I have done. And you and I need to understand that we need to serve. But that's an illustration of service, is it not? And so the Bible has many, many illustrations. I really am amazed at the amazing fact that profound truths can be made and illustrated in the simplest stories. Let me see if I can illustrate. What's church like? Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, 7 or 8 parables to describe what the kingdom of heaven was going to be like. You know what the church is like? If you don't understand, here it is. It's like a man taking seed and throwing it out, and different types of soil receiving that seed and producing different results. Now, the disciples could not understand that, but you and I are in a position of understanding it better than they, because you see, you and I understand the seed is the Word of God, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Look, the kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing the Word of God. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a fishnet that's cast out into the sea, and it gathers in all kinds. And that, by the way, is why the Lord says inside that net sometimes are bad fish, sometimes they are hypocrites that are a part of that which is caught in the fishnet. So I'll not be surprised. Somebody says, well, there are hypocrites in the church. Yes, there are hypocrites at work and hypocrites in almost every place I know. I only know of one place where there are no hypocrites. You got it? What about heaven? You and I need to understand that Jesus said, you sow this seed, and it's like a net that just brings in all kinds of people. And then he says, the day will come when they'll bring that net ashore, and they'll separate the good sheep, good fish from the bad from the bad fish. And you and I need to understand those illustrations are there. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man found hidden in a field. While we put our monies in the banks, they put their money and hid it in the field. And the man might die, or he might have forgotten, or he might have got Alzheimer's. And all of a sudden, nobody knows where it is. And somebody finds that field and could honestly, according to the laws of that land, could go buy that field. The kingdom of heaven's like that treasure that a man gave everything. Isn't that a profound truth? In just a little simple story. You and I need to understand that one of the things the Bible uses to illustrate our walk and our serving the Lord is athletics. It's rather remarkable in the Bible to look How many times terms that are used even in sports today and were somewhat like sports back in the first century, they're used to illustrate. Are you aware that wrestling is mentioned in the Bible? Now, I'm not talking about the kind where you know where you have some weird looking individual who's doing some sort of weird kind of flips and flops and all the other. But the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we do not wrestle. And yet he then says, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and powers in heaven, in the high places, do we not? There's wrestling mentioned in the Bible. Are you aware that that boxing is mentioned in the Bible? It was read this morning. Mars read those verses to us this morning. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The illustration is, as Paul in this passage says, I'm not like a boxer who's just out. We used to call it shadow boxing, just punching in the air. You know, there before the opening bell is in the arena and before the match actually starts, each boxer is over there in his own corner just beating in the air. What's he getting from that? Not a single thing. And so Paul says, you know, I'm a boxer. I'm a fighter. But he says, I'm not one that's just out here doesn't have a target in mind. And look at verse 27 when he says, and I discipline my body to bring it into subjection. And so you've got all of these illustrations. And we're runners. And the very text that was read this morning, go ahead and put 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 on the screen. And these words have been read. They'll be used several times in this lesson. You'll see this more than once in this lesson this day. But Paul in the church at Corinth was talking about the difficulties of the lives that they were having. The church was in trouble. And so Paul writes and he's encouraging them to just remain steadfast to the Lord and to not give up. And so he says in this passage, he says, you need to understand it's like a race. We're all in a race. And in that Olympic style race, there was only one who received the prize. A little bit different from that in relationship to, but there were rules that were involved. And so he says, you be individuals who get out there and get involved in this race. And you just keep on keeping on. And the last verse says, I discipline my body. Some of you may like the Old King James better than the word discipline. The Old King James has the word buffet, B-U-F-F-E-T. I think that's the way you spell buffet. And you may like it if you say, I buffet my body to bring it into subjection. And so Paul says, look, I am running this race. And I am going to be diligent and I'm going to exercise. I am going to prepare for this race because I want to win. I really want to win the race. Now, as you think about this Christian race, we need to understand that there are rules in this very race. You see, in every race, there's a certain distance you must run. There's an element that's involved in every aspect of the race. Well, there are rules in relationship to this matter of Christianity. If Christianity is like a race from where we are to the place where we want to cross the finish line, you and I need to understand that there are rules. The first rule is you cannot finish. You cannot win the race unless you enter it. We'll talk in the latter part of the lesson about how do you get into the race. What's God's way of saying, this is the way you enter into the race, and here's the way you start the race. But you cannot finish the race unless you get involved in the race. That is so logical. You know, you cannot jog a great distance. You cannot run a great distance unless you sign up for it, unless you start some way, somehow. To win the race, you've got to enter the race. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. Here's an individual that in the marathon tomorrow, if it were possible, could just jog along on the sidewalk right beside where all the runners are going to run. What's going to happen to him? Well, assuming it were possible to do that, he could run that full distance and he might even come in first place. Guess what? He's not going to win. Why? Because he never entered into the race. You know, it's tragic. There are some individuals who are living the lives that are exemplary in so many respects. You mirror so much what Jesus had in mind when he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. And there are folks that are in this auditorium and I look at you and I know your life and I know the morality of the life and the goodness of your life. And yet let me urge you to think soberly about the fact you've got to get in the race. It won't do you any good to run alongside those who are really in the race like you'd run alongside on the sidewalk in the Boston Marathon and get to the end. You see, there everyone must enter into this race. Now, the second rule is that everyone can enter, and I love this aspect of it. It doesn't take any prior training. It doesn't take any prior training. Sometimes people say, Dan, you ever run a marathon? You know, well, no, I've not run a marathon. Have you run a half marathon? No, I've not run a half marathon. Have you run a mile? No, I haven't run a mile. You know, what about have you run an 880 or a 440? Well, I'm just not fit enough to do this. You know this Christian race? Everyone can start this race. You may not be young enough and agile enough to get involved in some physical race. But in this race to heaven, you and I need to understand you could be 80 or 90 years of age and serve the Lord and start today doing that. If I say the name Joe Quigley to Joe's a very, very special part of this church. And I don't know if Joe is watching this today on the internet or not, but Joe, what an inspiration you've been. Joe came into the body of Jesus at 87 years of age. And God bless his heart. His statement was, and all of you need to hear what he said, I've wasted the first 86 years of my life. Guess what? You can enter in the race. You're not too old and if you understand what is involved in the race, you're not too young to get involved in this race. Because it doesn't take any prior training. I love the fact that in our society we have special Olympics for those who are physically handicapped. You and I have seen it on the television, and there's some amazing things that we see whenever there are those special Olympics. But the thing that as I watch that race and watch those little, those young men and young ladies, boys and girls, as they're ready to run down maybe 50 yards or so, there's mom and dad, and they're standing down at the finish line, and they don't have any concern at all whether that child gets first or second or third. Just go out there and try and try, and that child may come in last, and when he crosses the finish line, that mom or that dad hugs him just like he came in first place. Guess what? He did. And in this race to heaven, if you're not in the race, you and I need to understand that we may be spiritually handicapped right now, but there's a God in heaven and there are the angels of heaven that are there cheering us as we seek to run this race, speaking figuratively, and there God is at the finish line awaiting us to get there. Because you see, you can start today right where you are. Unlike some other races where you have to spend weeks and months of getting ready so you know you'll be able to finish this race. This race, though it is difficult, everyone can finish it, and everyone who finishes it will get the reward. I love that concept. The parable that Jesus taught, earthly story that illustrates profound truth. Those who had toiled all day were rewarded, and those who came in the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and even those who came in at the 11th hour were all rewarded, and they all got the same prize. It may be that those who had run the race, or those who had worked harder, might have enjoyed the rest more than those who had only worked, you know, for the 1 hour. But my, oh my, imagine on that day knowing that all I'll hear those words, "Come ye blessed of my Father." Paul talks about that the Lord will give me this crown. And he'll not only give this crown to me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, "I finished the race." That's verse 7. And verse 8, he says, "Not only me, but that crown that awaits me awaits everyone, awaits all of those who love his appearing." So you can be in the race. And the crown of life, this great reward that is there, will be for you. Let me mention one other thing about the race, and that is the reward you get is not some garland wreath that they may place on your head. It's not even a medal that they might give to you that you might lose or somebody might steal from you. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says that those individuals in the first century Olympics, to speak of games that we would know of, when they get to the end of it, there's a garland wreath. It might be something a little bit above that, but he says it's all temporary. And yet there is that reward that awaits every one of us. And how thankful we ought to be. Now let me say again something that we said before, and that is, you got to run according to the rules. You can't get out here and say, "Well, I think I will go down to the third road on the right and I'll take a shortcut and then I'll circle back in." Oh, no, it's none of that. You can't make up your own rules. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16 talked about some who were talking about a new doctrine of circumcision and uncircumcision. And Paul says, "No, this new doctrine that you're trying to bring in the church, what matters is being a new creation." And he says, that's the rule that we need to run by. These are the rules by which we run. Now then, let's spend the rest of our time talking about, let's win the race. How do you win the race? Well, first of all, you've got to know the rules. You and I need to understand that the Bible talks about knowing the rules. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 again, starting in verse 24 says, "Do you not know and do you not understand? And do you not understand that you must that one gets a prize in those Olympic games?" And says, you got to understand this. And that's why Bible study is so important. You'll not be able to finish the race unless you have an understanding of the Word of God. And you got to live by them and obey them. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about something that we mentioned in a recent sermon, and that is there are weights that individuals are carrying. They're in the way. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, "As we run this race, let us run it with endurance, with patience," the old King James says. And then he says, "Let's lay aside some weights that's slowing us down." Let me ask you this. What is there in your life, not sin necessarily, but what is there in your life that if it were not in your life or were not in the place it is in your life, you'd be more spiritual? You've got to think about that. You can talk about spirituality in the home. Your home would be more spiritual if you fathers and husbands would. Your home would be more spiritual if you mothers and wives would. Your home would be more spiritual if you young people in the home would. And I'm not talking necessarily about sinfulness. I'm just talking about we get so bogged down with all of these things that are around us and whatever there is around us that's slowing us down. That's what he's talking about. Lay aside the weight that so easily besets us. And so in that first century world, they'd keep weights around their ankles until the day of the race, and then they'd take the weights off their ankles, and they would seem like they could run so much faster, so much fleet of foot, because they'd laid aside some baggage. What's your baggage? What is your baggage? The young man came to Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, he said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus gave him the answer, "Keep the commandments." And so he says, which commandments? And Jesus gave him the list of those commandments. And he said, I've done that. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. And that is, that money that you have is so dominating your life that you need to go sell what you have and give to the poor. There's a weight. And I'm not necessarily saying that is your weight. It may be. But whatever weight, what would you have to change in your life to be the spiritual head of your home? Husbands, listen to me. Your wife longs for you to be more spiritual. What would you have to lay aside? What changes would you have to make in your life? Lay aside that weight and run with patience. We also need to recognize that in this race, that our goal is not to bring glory to ourselves. Those Pharisees did it. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5, he says, they're running the Jewish race, as it were, but everything they do it to be seen of men. And so running the race is not something showy that we do. You and I need to understand that we simply get on the track and we don't call attention to ourselves. We do not, as Jesus described those individuals who would stand on the street corners and so that everybody could see them pray and would not sound the trumpets before they gave money to help others. He says that's what they did, but you shouldn't do that. And whenever they fasted, everybody on earth knew that they were fasting. He said, that's not what it's all about. They're religious. They'd look real good in the 20th century as good Christian folks. But it's all for show. And we're all in this race. And God help us to understand that whatever we're doing must not be for showiness. Could I point out the fact that this race is not a sprint? It's a marathon. It's a marathon. I know we understand that, but have we not seen those images of individuals in that marathon who, when they get to those last mile or two in some of the Olympic Games, you remember how they failed as they came into the arena for the last lap and struggled to make it across, and they even crawled? Why? Because I'm going to finish this race. And some of you who've been in those longer distance races, you know what I'm talking about. You hit the wall, at least I heard that you do. You hit the wall, and it's just gut determination. Why? I'm going to finish this. And so being a Christian is not a decision that you made 5 or 10 years ago or made, a month ago. And well, I'm just going to be a Christian for a little while. It is a marathon. And so the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But Dan, you said it's not a sprint. Is there ever any time in that race ought to turn the speed up? Yes. In fact, the Bible talks about some time. We'll quickly look at some verses. The church at Corinth had great immorality. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, he says, flee sexual immorality. You see, sometimes there are situations in your life where the temptation is so great that you need to run away from it. Isn't that what fleeing is involved in this? You get yourself in that kind of situation that is tempting. Just get out there, run away. Isn't that what Joseph did down in Potiphar's house when his wife was trying to seduce him? And he ran out of the house. What a great lesson that is for us not to get ourselves involved in situations where there might be the temptation to do wrong. But whenever that temptation comes, you better take off running. This is a time to sprint if you're going to run this race. It's rather interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 14, he talks about flee from idolatry. But before we look at that idolatry in verse 14, look at what he says in verse 13. And he says, in everything that comes your way. Problem in Corinth was a matter of idolatry. But the principle is involved in every one of our lives. Whatever that problem is, God is faithful and God will give you the way of escape. And guess what you need to do? You need to sprint. You need to run away from it. You're in a situation where you ought not to be, and you need to turn your back. It's a time to sprint. It's a time to flee from idolatry. So not only should we flee from sexual immorality and flee from idolatry, but we need to understand that 1 Timothy chapter 6 discusses the matter of riches. And in verse 10 it says, the love of riches, the love of money, is the source of all evil. And he says, some who've coveted after these things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But then look at what he says when he says in verse 11, flee these things. That's that rich young ruler. He had a situation in his life, and it was dominating his life so much that it was impacting the spirituality of his life. I am thankful that God loves people that have money. He loved Abraham, did he not? One of the wealthiest men of the promised land. There was nobody richer than Job. And think about the riches of David and young Solomon and all of the good there was in those lives, in their life. Riches is not wrong. It's the craving after them. It's the loving of them. And the Bible says, you pierce yourself through with many sorrows, and get if that's in your heart, get rid of that desire, that covetous attitude that says, I've got to have all of that. And so we need to flee from sexual immorality and from idolatry and flee from these things that's mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Young people, here's a verse God put in the Bible especially for you. And it says, there are temptations that are more powerful on young people than they are on those who are not so young. And there are situations and temptations in your life that though some of those same temptations are not in your parents' lives. And you need to understand that the God of heaven says that because there is that temptation, you need to flee and get away from those situations. When you get yourself in a situation like that, you need to get out of it. Parents, let me just mention something to you, not because Judah and I were perfect parents. We're a long way from that. We told our young people, told our children, if you're ever in a situation with any of your friends that you feel uncomfortable, it makes no difference where you are, what you're, whose house you're at, it makes no difference. If you ever find yourself in a situation, then blame your dad and your mom that says, I need to call my dad. And you called your dad and Dad says, hello, Dad, you know what we talked about? Yes, come and get me. And the promise I made to my children was, when I come and I get you and you get in the car, you don't have to explain anything at all about what was happening. I'm just going to love you and hug your neck because of what you were doing was right. And oh, what a great lesson there is when young people stand up and say, I'm not going to be a part of this. For there to be those of us who are in their immediately family or in the family of the church who says to them, we are so proud for you. And the rest of that verse says, follow after all of the things that are found there. Good memory verse, young people. Flee youthful lusts, and here's some things you need to follow after. There's one other time, and that is in view of what's happened down at the zoo here in Palm Beach County, and that is, what happens if a lion gets after you? Well, look at what Peter says. Here's the time to run. When you find yourself in a situation, you better get out of it. As a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. We got to hurry. As we run the race, we need to understand we're not competing with everybody that's around us. Somebody else runs it better than us, doesn't make any difference. Their time is better than us, doesn't make any difference. What's your time? None of your business. You understand what I'm saying? Here is, I'm not competing with them. And if I'm measuring my spirituality by the spirituality of any other person in my life and say, I'll never be as good as this person, the Bible says, those who measure themselves by themselves, they're not wise. If you're not wise, you're a fool. You're foolish. I'm not in competition with anybody on this earth. It's just me and God, and I may be in the special spiritual Olympics, and God understands things that nobody around me understands. Nobody knows how much I'm struggling in this area, but I know and God knows, and it may be that others run the race better than me, but I'm doing the very best that I can. And child of God, don't beat yourself up because you're not as good as somebody else. You may be in the Special Olympics, and they may be in the real Olympics. And it makes no difference to that Father that is awaiting you down at the finish line. As you run the race, somebody around you stumbles. We need to help them. We've talked about foot washing. And so John chapter 13, just a reminder, some of the things that we've talked about this month as we've talked about the fact that we need to help each other. By the way, do you still have your basin that you got last Sunday as a reminder that there was that basin that Jesus had, and he took it and he washed his disciples' feet, and you keep it in your pocket just a reminder, I've got to help other people. And that's what Jesus said. He said, you understand what's happened here? And then he says, you ought to do what I've done in this race. If there's some brother or some sister that we know is struggling in whatever way in their life, if they're just having adversity in their life, take time to understand helping them across the finish line is one of the really, truly great things to be found. You and I need to understand that as we run this race, we need to keep our eyes focused in the right direction. There is that which lies before us, and we need to stay focused. Look again at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, as it talks about there is that eternal crown. There is that which is around us, and we need to be aware of the things that are around us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 starts by saying, there's a great crowd of witnesses watching us run the race. You know who that crowd is? We're encompassed with so great a cloud of witness. You know who that crowd of witnesses is in the context? If I say Hebrews 11, and I talk about by faith, Noah built an ark. If I say Hebrews 11, by faith, Enoch walked with God. If I say, by faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. If I say, by faith, and all of that is in chapter 11. And when you get to the last verse of chapter 11, it says, they didn't get it. They are not perfected with us, without us. And the very next verse says, and there is that cloud of witnesses, figuratively, in the arena while we run this race. There's Abel who offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, looking at us. And there's Enoch who walked with God. And there's Noah who prepared an ark. And there's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And there's Sarah and there's Moses. And there's all of those heroes of faith. And when you get to the end of that chapter, it says, and what about David? And what about Jephthah? And what about Barak? And what about Samson? And then he begins to mention those who gave their lives and were sawn asunder, and those who were thrown into the fiery furnace. They're all up looking at us running this race. What a joy it ought to be in our lives. Just to imagine in the imagery that's in this passage of those on the other sides watching us to see how we run this race. That we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race with patience. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We need to follow His steps. He showed us how to run the race. That's the rest of Hebrews 12. We don't have time to look at it, but it says looking unto Jesus. He's the model runner. He's the one who's gone before us. And as we run this race, Jesus is that model, and we need to keep our eyes on Him. And finally, we need to understand we do not need to quit before we get to the finish line. We do not need to quit before we get to the finish line. Isn't that remarkable? Some do. And how tragic it is that Paul would write to the churches of Galatia and says, you've fallen from grace. He says, he said, you used to run well. What happened? What hindered you? Don't give up. But be that individual who's ready to serve God and to finish the race. Let's understand that as a body of people, we're here to help each one of us get to heaven. And young people, because this is Promotion Sunday, this church pledges to you our help to you in every way that we can to help you overcome. We need you in our lives because the encouragement that you give to us is so important. You need to be in our life. We need to be in your life. And what we've said to young people, we say to everyone in this auditorium. There are people around you this morning. You need to encourage them. We're running this race together. And if you see them slacking off, encourage them and say, come on, let's go. Let's be faithful. We want to finish this race because there is a crown of life that awaits us. How do you enter the race? Very simple. It starts by believing in Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 16. But it's not enough to believe. You've got to change your life. That's what repentance is. And so Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to get in the race. And then if you confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized into His body, baptized into Christ. You and I need to understand what a blessing it is for us to be in that race. And to have Him as our champion awaiting at the finish line, and He as our helper as we're running this race. And that's why He says to those of us who are Christians, don't you dare give up. And to those of you who've been in this race for 5 years or 10 years or 30 years or 45 or 50 years, don't you dare give up. Until you die, you give your best, run the race, and a crown of life awaits you. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?